Daf is Daf Nun Hey, and we're holding on right at the bottom of Nun Dalet on the base. The Mishnah said that the Kohen wasn't Mechavin, actually Lamala Lamata, but when we say on top and on the bottom, it means Kimat Slif. What exactly does Kimat Slif mean? My Kimat Slif. Machri Rabbi Yehuda Kiman Gadma. What it means is the same way that we would have a Shliach Beidin, who would be giving Malkus. So the way in which he would give Malkus, first of all, the two issues really, actually, it's about what is showing how far the Mangadna means. The Pashtus of the Mangadna, right up front, is that there, some of the Makas have to be in front, and some are in back. He changes the direction of his hands according to where he's whipping. So that means that some, when you're trying to get around, so you would hold your hand with the bottom of the hand facing down, and that way the whip would go towards the back. Whereas otherwise you would go upwards, so then the hand would be facing upwards. So that's one nafkamina. But the difference, another element, which not all the Rishonim agree to, is that the Shliach Bezdin would never hit two places at once again, the same places twice. I mean. So therefore, each maka was a little bit beneath the other one, so as not to damage the skin. And therefore, the makas would go one beneath the other. That's another meaning of kamatzlif. So besides the direction which the hand was facing, it would also be, even though he's not actually going to be aiming in a particular place because it's not landing on the kaparis itself, on the brochas itself. But nonetheless, the direction, there would be two elements. It would mean that when you're facing kibbar degadna, you would have the top of your hand would be facing now either up or down, depending on which direction the blood is going. So you would be facing, you would have the back of your hand facing up if you're going upwards, facing down if you're going downwards. That's how Rashi has it. Actually, the Tezus Shonim has it the opposite direction. If the Quran was according to him, you wouldn't be going like that. You'd be sort of flipping your fingers. So therefore, it would be the opposite direction, obviously, if you're flipping downwards rather than sprinkling upwards. Okay. But the other issue is that you would also, even though you're not aiming to hit something, you would be sprinkling at a little bit of an angle. So to go like that. So in other words, go up, and you go like that, and then a little lower, a little lower, a little lower, even though it all ends up on the ground anyway. The question is, where does it appear to be aimed at? Where is it sprinkling towards? Tana, kishu mazeh no mazeh al hakaporet, elekid neged oviyash al hakaporet. When he's being mazeh, he would be mazeh not on the kaporet itself, but rather kineged the thickness of the kaporet, but it wouldn't actually hit the kaporet. It was just aimed in that direction. Kishu mazeh lemala, and when he is now sprinkling in the upward direction. Again, there's a machlokas here whether the upward means from the midpoint of the kaporet and above, downward meaning midpoint of the kaporet below. Again, even though it's not hitting, that's where you'd be aiming if you would have given it enough power to actually hit. Or, according to Rambam, the bottom, when it says lamata, it means within a tefach of the kaporet beneath. Well, this one means literally from the midpoint. But in any event, wherever that is, the kavona here is not to actually hit it, but rather to be facing in that direction. So therefore, kishu mazeh lemala mitzadeh yado lemata. So if he's facing now to do the hazoya lemala, mitzadeh yado, according to Rashi, as I said, means the back of his hand. So the back of his hand would now be facing down, and he would be mazeh up. So we go like that. When he was facing downwards, when he was trying to be mazeh downwards, then he would have yado kishu mazeh lemata mitzadeh yado lemala. That way he would be sprinkling downwards. How do we know that when it says ala kaporet, it doesn't mean literally ala kaporet? Maybe it means that it's literally on the kaporet. That's what the word al means, doesn't it? Al is to sprinkle on. So how do we know that it doesn't mean that? Omer Abacha bar Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Zeira, Omar kro v'hiza oto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. Before we begin, let's point out that we have two psukim here that we're going to be darshaning. One of the psukim is a reference to the Dam HaSa'ir, and one of the psukim is a reference to the Dam HaPar. There are very striking differences between them, even though Lamaisa, we compare the two, because it says, V'asa et damo, kasher asa, the Dam HaPar. So let's take the posik of the Sawyer first, because that's the first posik we're going to, even though that's the second posik in the Torah. So there it says like this, V'shachat et sa'ira chatata shela'am, ve'vi et damo el mi beit laparochet, V'asa et damo kasher asa, the Dam HaPar. Do to its blood what you did already in the previous pasuk to the Dam HaPar, which we'll speak of in a moment. V'hiza oto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. So from the words v'hiza oto al hakaporet, I know two things. At least I think I know two things. But v'hiza oto means there was a single hazayah. Lo shon yafid. do one hazayah of it al hakaporet, literally on top of the kaporet. Then when it says v'lifnei hakaporet, lifnei, now lifnei already has 2 minutes. Lifnei generally means in front of, but not actually touching. So then the al would be to touch, and lifnei might mean towards the front, and actually in that lifnei to just hit the ground, which is the pashat meaning. That's what it says by the Zohar. It doesn't say how many times to be mazeh lifnei hakaporet. When it comes to the par, it says it very differently. It says v'lakach midam par v'izah etzbo'ot al pnei hakaporet. Well, that's weird, because here it says lifnei hakaporet. This is al pnei hakaporet, which is mashma again that it touches. V'lifnei hakaporet yazeh sheva pa'amim. Now here it does say lifnei hakaporet 7 times, something it didn't say by the Zohar. It doesn't say how many times al hakaporet, because it doesn't say oto. It just says yazeh. So here we know that it's 7, at least lifnei hakaporet. By the Zohar we don't. By the Zohar we know it's 1 on, seems to be mashma on mamish, and by the par we don't. And nonetheless, in the pasuk of the Zohar, it compares the dama par to the dama Zohar. Given now those 3 points, we can easily understand the Gemara that's coming up. So minani mili. Here's where we're going to darsh it from. Omer Abacha by Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Akro, V'iza oto, meaning once, al hakaporet, V'lifnei hakaporet, without defining how much was lifnei hakaporet. What does that mean? Well, lo ye'amer l'mata b'soyer de lo tzorech. Fact is, it shouldn't have mentioned anything about the bottom dam when it came to the soyer. It could have just said, since it said kasher tzad adam apar. So I would have learned that, gomar mi mata de par. I could have easily learned out that there is the same hazayah lifnei hakaporet, because I know that there's such a hazayah from the par, lama nema. Why then does it have to mention separately that there is a hazayah lamata? Lakushe al lifnei. The only reason is to tell me that when it said al, it doesn't literally mean al. And therefore, when it says vizoto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet, the whole point of saying lifnei hakaporet is to say, in the same way that lifnei, ma lifnei de lav al, when it says lifnei, it doesn't mean literally touching, it means towards, af al de lav al. So when it says al, it means only a direction above, but it doesn't mean to be taken literally on. And that's the only understanding of why we would need to repeat al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. Now, wait a minute, how do you know to read it that way? You could say just the opposite. Hadarabah, you could say, lo ye'amer l'mala b'par de lo tzarech. Let's start the other way around. Let's take a look at the par. Don't bother saying by the par that you should be mazeh lifnei hakaporet, al pnei hakaporet keit. Now leave that out. Because after all, I know from the Zohar anyway that it says al hakaporet, yazeh oto al hakaporet. I end up needing to learn out the dama par for the dama Zohar, the dama Zohar for the dama par. So why, therefore, was there any point of saying al, to tell me la kushe lifnei la al, to tell me just the opposite, and that just al, just like al means al mamash, so af lifnei al mamash, let's make the one that's extra, it's always the one that's extra, that's the teacher, so let's make the al the teacher, make that the one that's going to be the model, and then lifnei I now understand to mean towards, but touching, not towards and not touching, but towards the front of. Now I would have exactly the same explanation for why I need both psukim mentioned, and I come up with the opposite conclusion. So how do you know which one is the extra one to teach? You're telling me that the one that's teaching is the one that is not literal. But it's lifnei, and the al is meant to be understood as not literally al. Why don't we do it just the opposite? Say that the lifnei is not literal, and that it's all al. Answers the Gemara, hi my, what kind of question is that? If you take our original approach, that when it says lifnei, that's the teacher, the lifnei that's in the Zohar, that would make a great deal of sense, because then at least I have an explanation of why we have the extra lamala and napar. Because lamala, the par and divayla, they kind of devei Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. That's a well-known drasha. The Tana devei Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why does the Torah say, al pnei hakaporet kedmo? To teach me, zeh bnei av, kol makom shenema pnei, eno ela kadim. And interestingly enough, the word kedma is an indication here that when the Torah doesn't explain a direction, it just says al pnei, it means towards the east. Now, very often we'll find al pnei in the Torah. So here it's an important limud to tell me that means facing east. If you're going to tell me that adrabah, the teacher over here, meaning the posik that's extra, is the lamala depar, which now cancels the drasha that we just had about the relationship of pnei to kedma. So now I need it to teach me that on the contrary, when the Torah says lifnei, it means actually to touch. So now how are you going to explain the other way around? What was the purpose of Lamata to Sawyer. So the way I have it, each one has an extra pasuk. The Sawyer has the extra pasuk of the leaf name, which we're going to end up learning that from the par. And the par has the extra al. The al by the par teaches me that al lifnei means kedma, and the lifnei of the Sawyer teaches me that I should not take al literally, meaning that it doesn't have to literally touch. But if you do it the other way around, you're left with an unexplained pasuk. Therefore, the first way we presented it makes perfectly good sense. The al doesn't mean literally to touch. It only implies a direction, one towards the top, one towards the face, meaning towards the bottom, according to Rambam, even directly beneath the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. V'yiza oto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. Now, v'yiza oto would mean one hazaya. So put one on top. V'lifnei hakaporet is sort of left hanging there. How many do I put lifnei hakaporet in the sa'ir? Don't know. So what I do know so far from that pasuk is lamadu. Kama lamala b'sa'ir achat. I know one, but it says oto. Lamata b'sa'ir, as far as lifnei hakaporet, I don't know. Eni yodea kama. So now, let me use my own brains and I'll figure it out. Are any done? Nemra damim lamata bepar, nemra damim lamata besoyer. If when it comes to the par, it said befeirush, v'lifnei hakaporet yazeh sheva parmi, seven times we need. Okay. It mentions lifnei hakaporet without telling me how many times in the soyer. Doesn't make perfectly good sense to say if in one location it defines seven, then it must mean use those seven for the soyer. So therefore I should say, ma lamata bepar sheva, afamata besoyer sheva. That's what I would think. But then I might have second thoughts. And I could say, O kulach b'derachzu, perhaps the way to look at it is like this. Nemru domim lamala b'sayir, v'nemru domim lamata b'sayir. The Torah says over here, v'izauto ala kaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. So ala kaporet is one. But it says to do something underneath. Doesn't it make sense to say that whatever it said to do on top, to do underneath? V'izauto ala kaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. It's all one thing. Take that single hazayah, do one on top and one on the bottom. So therefore I will say to myself, amala mala b'sayir achat, aflamata b'sayir achat. Just like the Torah defined one lamala, so too there's one lamata. Well, so now we have two possibilities. Compare it to the sayer, lamala, one. Or compare bottom to bottom. So compare the bottom of the sayer to the bottom of the par, seven. So okay, nir lami dome. What's more reasonable? Isn't it more reasonable? Dami mata mi mata, vein danin mata mi lamala. Makes more sense to compare the dami that are coming lamata by the sayer to the dami coming lamata to the par? No, not necessarily. Adarava. Danin gufa mi gufa. Doesn't it make more sense to compare a sawyer to a sawyer than to compare the sawyer to the par? So basically, we would not know, left to our own devices, whether it's more reasonable to say that there were seven hazayos lamata by the sawyer or one. Therefore, Talmud Lomar comes along the Torah to solve our dilemma and teaches us, kasher asa, that just like kasher asa beferish, it says, ledam hapar, he should do to the dam hasawyer. What did he do? What is the purpose of saying kasher asa, since lamaisa we end up repeating in both the dam of the sayer and the dam of the part that there was a hazoya al and hazoya lifnei? Must be to tell me not simply the fact of lamala lamata, not simply the fact of al meaning not literally, but also how many. Which teaches me that I need to have seven hazayot. I think relief is in sight. Relief is in sight. Welcome home, dear President. I see. Thank you. It's a very necessary day for tea. Thank you. But what happened to the little... I'm sorry. Okay. Gosh, I don't do my standard story. Okay. So now we know the dam of the Sawyer Lamata, the dam of the Sawyer Lamala, and of course we know the dam of the Par Lamata, that's the given. But we don't know the dam of the Par Lamala. So now let's do the same thing that we did. So now let's start. Okay, what do we know now? I now know that we have lamadnu. I just have to find my place here. Lamadnu, so now we know. Kama lamata bepar ubesoyer. We now know both the par and the soyer towards the bottom. Sheva. We know how many there are lamala on the soyer. One. But lamala bepar, in your day, I don't know how many there are in the par because it doesn't say. It just says yazet, but say otto. So have any done? Let me do the same thing I just did. I should say, look, it's reasonable. Nemer dami lamala besoyer. Nemer dami lamala bepar. Isn't it reasonable to say that if I have blood being put lamala And the two animals, just like the Mala B'Soyer says achat, afa Mala B'Par means achat. Or, of course, I can look at it the other way. On the other hand, I can say, look, the Torah did define precisely what it wanted in terms of the Lamata B'Par. So maybe we should apply that to Lamala. And we should say, Mala Mata B'Par Sheva, just like my given here is seven towards the bottom. So then the Al, which isn't defined by the Par, should also be seven. Once again, I'll say, Nira Lamidoma, what's reasonable? Well, Dani Mala Mimala. Makes more sense to learn the two Nitinot Adam above, Vein Dani Mala Milamata. Doesn't it? More than saying I should put above what I put on the bottom. On the other hand, you could say Adaraba, Dani Gufo Mi Gufo. Makes more sense to learn a Par from a Par and not to learn the Par from the Sire. In Dani Gufo Mi Alma. Again, we're left in a quandary on our own devices. Comes along the Torah to teach me, Tamud Lomar, Vasa Tamo Kasher Asa, She'im Tamud Lomar Kasher Asa. What's the point? Being as anyway we've learned how to do, Matamud Lomar Kasher Asa, Shukolas Yotov Shavod. To teach me, Keshem Shalamata Bapar Sheva, Kach Lamata Bisayer Sheva. Just like I have seven Azayas of the Par on the towards the bottom part, so too do I have seven Azayas in the Sayer. And just like I've given one Azayah Lamala Bisayer, Kach Lamala Bapar Achat. So I now know all of the things that the Mishnah told me. I know that it doesn't touch. I know that it's Kimat Slif. I know that it's seven Lamata on both of them. I know that it's Achas Lamala on both of them. And now the description of the Mishnah is fully based on the Diyukim and the Pesach.
We know which one he does first.
Yeah, because it says in both cases, Al and then Lifnei. So that's not a problem. Then the Mishnah says that the Kohen would actually count. He wouldn't just do the Hazoya, he would count the Hazoya. And not only would he count the Hazoya, but he would, strangely enough, continue to count the Hazoya that he had done Lamala together with the Hazoya that he did Lamata. He would say, Achat, Achat, Shtayim, Achat, Shalosh, and so on. Now it's interesting that there is an opposite way of counting, which we see in the Braita, which is a machloket, apparently, and what our Mishnah said was only one sheet. Tanu Rabban. Achat, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalosh, achat v'arba, achat v'chamesh, achat v'shesh, achat v'sheva. Indeed, that's Rabbi Meir Shita, reflected in our Mishnah. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the way he counted was achat, achat v'achat, shtayim v'achat, shalosh v'achat, arba v'achat, chamesh v'achat, shesh v'achat, sheva v'achat. So that it was counted in the other direction, v'lo pligin. Not that there was a machlokas about how to do it. That was the question was how to count it only. And that was just a matter of convention. Marki atre. So the conventions differed in how to count. Now there's two ways of understanding it. We know that we often find in the Torah the units before the tens. We often find the tens before the units. You have esrim ve'achat, achat ve'esrim. So apparently there's no particular hakoda in that. So the different places had different minhagim. It's become now the norm to say esrim v'shtayim instead of shtayim v'esrim. It's not that crazy to say shtayim v'esrim. Now here we have a little bit of machlokas of how to understand which marki atre. Rashi, because obviously the tens and the units are irrelevant. We don't have tens and units here. So therefore, what's the comparison? So clearly, the understanding of the direction of counting wasn't in terms of tens and units. It was in terms of that which remained the same and that which differed. So if your achat remains the same, you're saying, esrim v'echat, esrim v'shtayim, esrim v'shalosh. You would say, achat v'echat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalosh. If you would do it the other way, then you would do it in the other direction. That would be the partial way of understanding it. So this indeed is how Rashi learns. The point over here was, what's the klal, what's the standard, and what's the variable? The variable is the achat v'shtayim, shalosh, arba. So does the variable come after? Does the variable come before? And that was the difference between the way in which Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would count.
You don't do it in more than one place. There's only one answer that you ever do this counting.
No. The normal counting of units, what we call units and tens, can be in terms of esrim v'chat, esrim v'shtayim. So if you do it that way, then you would do it achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, achat v'shalosh. The achat becomes the esrim. Atre means normal counting, not this counting.
Normal counting.
Yeah, when you walk into a store.
The Makkah means the different places have different minhagim.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's only one place that you do this, which is Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. There's only place that's
different minhagim when you walk into a store and buy something. How much does this cost?
Not in different places.
Different places count differently. Not count in the Beis HaMikdash differently. Different places count when they walk into a store.
Different locations, different cities.
Yeah, in New York, they say things
right,
backwards.
But this is not counted in New York. The only place it's ever done.
There was nothing there.
But how do I explain the way it was done?
Oh, don't
well, the mission.
Not how what the coin
right.
actually says.
That's right. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not telling you got to do it this way. The question was how. Right. So in other words, if this is the norm of counting, then this would be the way you would do it. This is the way we count. This is how we would say it.
Not to see which way the coin should say.
Right. As I say locally, we go with Bikaj. But, I mean, there is, it's interesting, it's Ramotis Diak, I mean, in the Yerushalmi, Mashmaut is that it's Bedaf. Because he wanted to end with the word Sheva. This is an Indian of Sheva, because it's Mitzkari of Lamalchus and so on. So in order to end with the word Sheva, that's one Girsa anyway. I mean, so he wanted Bedaf, that it should be Achad for Sheva, and not it should be Sheva for Achad. Others understand that the only Indian of Yerushalmi is not to say Shmona. That's why we don't simply keep adding up. But there is a tzad to say, the way Ramati was saying it, that we're actually telling the coin, no, you got to do it this way. There's a reason for it.
The way to count, we're just counting off. It's our whole set.
Why
is there a discussion on this?
Why is there a discussion of how to count?
Yeah.
Because again, if it means bedafka, then I have to know. I must count in this way. If there's some relevance other than the counting per se, there's some type of specific spiritual relevance, that there may be a way in which I have to count the word. And that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. There is indeed. A number is a sphira. It's one of the spheras. The word sphira means number, of course.
Whenever there's a machlokas about what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, they had no recordings. Somebody said,
sometimes someone would say, I was there and I saw it like this. We'll see more of that later. Yeah. Okay. So there's no, but as far as what you need to do, everybody's made it. You need to count the one from the previous one, add it, and mention it separately. Eight in total, but one above and seven beneath, and so we keep them separate. So Mark Hatri Marta, but the Kuli Amma Mia, but look, everybody's agreeing over here. There's some reason we need to continue counting and mentioning the first Hazoya with all of the Hazayot. By the way, you should just know that there is a drasha that the Tosfos Yeshani brings, that this is from the Teres Kanim, the use of the word Sheva Pa'amim instead of Sheva Tipim, or something that would refer to the Dan, times means that I need to keep track of times. That's the point. It's the time. It's not the number of drops. Therefore, the Teres Kanim is Bedayik that I need to count. The Torah is telling me I need to count. In which case, the way to understand the Gemara of the year would be, but why do I include the count from the first? But not, why do I count Bichlal?
It could have been
1, 2, 3. Yeah. I know they're 8, and I'm intelligent enough to know that if I did 1, then the second one 2 is then towards the bottom.
The last one should be 8.
Yeah. So my time, huh? So Rabbi Elazar Omer, look, it's simply a question of Shaloyit Ba'azot. I mean, we don't want you to get confused. Rashi says that this means we like you to take more time. The faster you do things, more liable you are to get confused. If we make you say Achat and Achat Rishtai, so it's, you're able to focus more clearly. And the possibility of focus means a mistake is less likely. Other Rishonim learned that it means Kipshuto. We're afraid that you may end up making a mistake because you counted already one before, and then you'll think, oh, maybe I meant, was it two that I did down here? And you'll end up losing Azoya. So because of that, we make sure that we keep it separate. That's Rabbi Elazar's job. Rabbi Yochanan Omer? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this is actually Deacon the Pasuk. Omar Kro, the Torah specified in the Dam HaPar, Vilifnei HaKaporet Yazeh Sheva Pa'amim. Now, what was the point of that extra word yazeh? It says v'hizah be'etzpa'o al pnei ha'kaporet keidma v'lifnei ha'kaporet. So if you would have said v'lifnei ha'kaporet sheva pa'amim without repeating the word yazeh, it wouldn't have made perfectly good sense. Why the repetition? She'im tamad lomer yazeh, ma tamad lomer yazeh, limeid al hazah rishona she'tzricha minyan im kol achat v'achat. This teaches us that original hazayah has to be kept separate from the other hazayot. So keep in mind as you do the sheva hazayot, the original hazayah. List it. My binayu, is there a practical difference between Rabbi Elazar's logistical requirement and Rabbi Yochanan's posik mandated requirement? Of course. Higi binayu, deloma navelo ta'a. If he did it right, but he didn't count it. He just relied on his doing it right, did it right. So according to Rabbi Elazar, okay, I should have counted, but you did it properly, it's fine. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you didn't do it properly. Because if there is being makbid, you need to say it in this fashion.
He does it again.
So you would have to do it again. The truth is, it's a machlokas. The Meiri says it doesn't mean le'ikuva, even though it's very difficult to... It's the thing about what I was discussing theoretically. But others learn it means le'ikuva mamish.
So you have to say it out loud, basically. Otherwise,
you
don't know
he's
making a mistake.
Well, I mean, God knows.
So what does that mean?
He didn't count, but he didn't make a mistake. But let's say he asked God not to make a mistake. Okay, he didn't make a mistake. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I didn't count as a bad boy, but I ended up doing it right. According to the author, he didn't end up doing it right. Because the counting was part of what's right. Not just logistics. Yatzavi nicho akayin hazahav shveichal. You go out and you put it on the basis that is there in the Heichal. Now, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. Did you set the dam down of the par on one besis and pick up the dam aser from the other? Or, as Rabbi Yehuda said, no, there was only one. You had to pick up the next one before you set down this one. So, it's interesting that there's a very curious relationship between this sugya and the sugya that we had recently in Shkolim about the shofarot, the large pushkas that they would have. They were called shofarot because they were shaped large at one end and small at the other end. So Tanan Hatam, back in Shkolim, Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo hayu shofarot v'kinei chova, mipnei ha-ta'arot. We listed, the Tanakhama listed, the kinei chova and the kinei nedava. Kinei chova is one bird l'chatat and one bird l'ola. And the kinei nedava are two birds l'ola. Says Rabbi Yehuda, without being very clear about what he means, no, we did not have a shofar for kinei chova. We're afraid that it would get mixed up. Meaning what? Might be a tarovet. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, we're afraid that you may end up having a mixture. Somebody may put in nedava money into chova, or vice versa. Or maybe the coin will take out from the wrong one. That would be a disaster. Because if you end up bringing a ola as a chatas, or vice versa, you've destroyed it. Because it's brought in different places, at different locations. The oil sof is brought l'malon, the mizbeach chatas sof is l'bata, and we do completely different things with the dam. That would be terrible. To avoid the problem, let's not have a shofar for the chova. Why dafka for the baby for the other one? Because the truth is, as Tosfos points out, the chova had to be done immediately. There wasn't any real need for a shofar. The ola, what was the ola used for? The ola, remember, the two olas, the nedava, in other words, which were all entirely olas, they were the monies that were deposited for all of the times that we said yiplu le nedava. Something shitless. We had yira'eh, she used to ave many times. Wait until the animal gets a moon, sell it, use the money for nedava. What was that nedava? When the mizbeach wasn't active, they would bring these karbonos of birds to keep the mizbeach active. They called it kayetza mizbeach. It was like a dessert for the mizbeach to eat. So as long as there's something going on, we wouldn't use it. So maybe you'd have 3 weeks in which it wasn't used at all. So you had the money piled up. So you need to have the money piled up. On the contrary, when it comes to the chova, the whole point over there was the yoledet had to know that today it was brought. That was the whole message we had earlier. We could rely on the kohanim that for sure it would be brought today. There wasn't really a need for storage. It wasn't such a problem. So therefore, it's more reasonable to say if you're going to not have one, the one not to have is the kinei chova. Just deposit the money, let the kohen take it, and bring it on the spot. Why would we want it to pile up anyway? Fine. So there's the problem, says Rabbi Yosef, to which Abaye said, that doesn't make sense. How would that be the problem? It's so easy to tell the difference. You simply write in big letters, hello, dum-dum, hello, this is the chova. And then how's it going to somebody think that that's going to make a possible mistake? Navi trey v'nichtav alei. Why don't we just write? Haide chova v'haide nava. Says Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in writing. Nobody reads. Let lektiva. He doesn't believe in writing as sufficient guarantee that things will be done correctly. Because look how many times you give people perfectly kosher directions, you're going to end up doing the opposite. And I'll prove it from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah here in Yuma says, Ditznan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hayasham Ela Kanachat. There was only one basis, not two. So why not two? Trey my time alone. Mishum de Michlefi. Undoubtedly, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that if we have two, we end up having a problem. Because we may get mixed up between the par and the Sawyer's dam and do it in the wrong order. Why? V'navi trei. Why not simply make two basisim and write on it very clearly? Par in big letters. Sawyer in big letters. Clearly, that's not a solution for Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't believe people are reliable to follow what it says. So, Ela le Rabbi Yehuda, let's like Ktiba. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in Ktiba as a solution. So it makes very good sense. The Mishnah in Yuma, surprisingly, is an expression of exactly what we saw earlier that Rabbi Yehuda was expressing back in Shkolim. Wherever there's a chance of confusing things, better not to have one. There's a chance of confusing things, let's only have the pushkis for the Nedava. Chance of confusing the Dama Sur, Dama Par. Let's only have one Khan and then force you to pick up the Dam before you deposit the other one. Then you'll know which one you're going to be oivid with. Beautiful. Neisvei. How can you say, says the Gemara?
Even if you would have it in here too, you'd say it's only one person, you'd totally be careful. But here we're also
a lot of people.
For sure something
to think. So it's even better. Yeah. If he doesn't hold it here, for sure we know the Dam. Neisvei. Ask the Gemara from the Mishnah. How can you say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Ksiva for heaven's sakes? It says the Farish in the Mishnah that there were 13 different shofarot. That's awfully confusing. So When you walk in and you have money that you want to deposit for a particular usage, how do you know which one to put it in? Are you katuf, Aliyah? It said each one what it was for. All this was the Mishnah. We just had this Mishnah in Shkolin. Takling Chadatin. One said the Tikling Chadatin, the new Shkolin. Tikling Atik in the old Shkolin. We're going to explain what each one of these was for. Kinim, Gozle Ola, Eitzim, Livona, Zahavla Kaporet. And then we had six more for Nadabah. We had six Kenega, these 6 days of the week, because it was a different Mishmar. Not Mishmar, a different Beit Av of the Mishmar that would work on each day of the week. And they would each use the Nedavot from their particular Pushkin. What was the point of each one of them? Tiklin Chadatin, the new Shkalim, Elo Shkalim, Shoko Shana Vishana, where somebody would bring his shekel and deposit it the way he was supposed to. Tiklin Atikin were for people who didn't get a chance to be shokel last year. Mishlo Shakal Ashtakad. Yishkol Shana Ba'a should put his shekel in his machzor shekel from last year into Tiklin Atikin. That way we would be sure not to use it for this year's Korbanot. And it would now fall to the leftover, the Shiore Halishka of last year, which was used for projects in Yerushalayim and so on, the Chomot HaIr. The next one that we had was Kinim. What are Kinim? Kinim are, just by convention, are the Torin. Remember, two kinds of birds you could bring. You could bring either Torin, which were a species of pigeon, which were now mature, or you could bring Gozalim, which is the Bnei Ona. So when it said Gozle Ola, which was on the other one, again, that would mean the younger ones. The younger ones were the Bnei Ona. Just similar species, but a different bird and a different age. The immature ones. But both of those were Olot. Kulan Olot, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there was writing on each one of these pushkas, and that we relied on the writing to know where to put our cash. So what are you telling me? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of writing. There's got to be another problem over here for when he said we're afraid it's going to get mixed up. Why didn't he want to have a pushka in Shkolim for the Gozlim that needed the Kinei Chovah? Kiyata Rav Dimi Omar, Andri B'mar Rava, back in Eretz Yisrael, they said the reason that he didn't want it was Gzera Mishum Chatat Shemitu Ba'aleah. We are afraid that mixed in with the Chataot, which would be in the Kinei Chovah, would be the Chatas of a woman who had given birth and perhaps died. If that would be the case, then we'd have a disaster on our hands, because the money, just like the Chatas itself, of an owner who died, has to be thrown out. The Chatas has to die, which would passel all the other Chataot. What could we do? What do you mean, what could we do? Why should we be chayish? Well, we're not chayish that somebody died. Somebody sends a carbon chatas for dinas hayam. It took him a half a year for it to get here. Do we know the guy is still alive when he gets here? That we should bring his chatas? How do we know? Nonetheless, we bring it. We assume that once alive, you remain alive. So why should he think that what the woman puts in the money for the kechova and then died? Why would it be a chash that she died? Sorry, that's true. Mishum chatat shemetu ba'alei avadai. What he's afraid of is that we'll find out that somebody died. Now, how do we find her money? So then we have a disaster. If it's a pushka that's full of olot, that's not a problem. You can bring an ola if somebody had died. Eres, could you bring the ola? But the chatas is a disaster. We wouldn't be able to bring any of the chataot in here. The whole thing would have to be thrown out. And now how do we get in touch with everybody putting their money into terrible. Better not to have it at all. So it's a rebuta. That's the tarovet. Not a tarovet of mixing up ola because they won't read the writing. Why is it that there was only one time? That we'll have to say there must be another reason. But certainly that doesn't have to do with writing.
You need to pull and say, well, take up this.
Ask the Gemara of Endivar Arbazuz. Why don't we just take out four, as Rabbi Yaakov asks, which is what it costs, basically, four zuz, and throw it out. Nishtei b'maya. We'll say this money should be the money of that one that died. That's because Rabbi Yehuda let lay brera. Rabbi Yehuda is the shita that doesn't hold that you can choose and now ex post facto define what was there retroactively. That's the concept of brera. The concept of brera means that when something turns out to be a particular way, then we could say that's the way it was meant to turn out. In other words, if I end up taking these and I say, this is for the deceased, then that means that the money that was put in originally is indeed now, halachically, the money of the deceased. Because whatever we picked out, that's what it was supposed to be. If you hold lead brera, if you don't hold a brera, it means there's no connection of what turns out in time with what would have been at the moment that you put it in. That's how Rashi defines elsewhere. Basically, it's a question of whether it's a mechanical universe or whether it's a random universe. If you hold lead brera, that's how Rashi explains it, Mamish. Rashi says lead brera means that what you had at the original moment has no relationship to any mechanical ending, there's no cause and effect. It was put in this way, therefore ultimately ended up coming out that way. There was no ultimately. There was nothing that was omitted to happen. So what happened happens without reference to what happened before. Therefore, you can't say, because I picked it out now, that now is what was meant to be. Nothing is meant to be. It just happens to be. So that's if you don't hold Brera, then there's no way for me to just choose at random four, because then it's just any four. It's not the four that were put in, forces that were put in. Okay, tomorrow we're going to try to prove that indeed Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Brera. And that's the reason. What we're saying now is we're saying that basically it boils down to that could be the machlokas here. If I don't have a problem, I don't have a problem because I can always deal with the two Brera. But if I don't have the Brera, I'm going to have a problem. Because if I allow a pushka of chovot, one day this is going to happen, and that's going to be terrible. I won't have any way out of it.
Do we need to do a blood after the
I thought what we usually do is we learn. We usually learn Motzai. There's obviously no problem in doing another 3 months. Now, if you want to, we can simply go ahead. But what we did last year is we met at 9:30.
Okay.
So Shabbos. Hopefully, you don't. No, no, it's just Tisha B'Av. We can't. You're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
So we're going to learn at night.
Okay.
You know, it's a Hashem will learn here at 9:30.
It's only 23 days left in the Rosh Chodesh, and
My kamat sleif machvir Yuda keman gadna tana kishumaze ino mazel la kaporet la kineged oviyasho kaporet. Again, as I mentioned, it's a machlokas whether that means gav yado or his palm. Rashi learns mitzaded yado means gav yado because he's moving the hand in this way. But if you learn it means the other way, so you're sort of flicking your fingers the other direction. Minani mili, how do we know it doesn't mean literally? Because anyway, I end up needing to learn it out from Mata de Par. So why Lama Nema? Lakushe al lifnei. Just like lifnei doesn't mean literally al. No contact. Af al doesn't mean literally al. Let me say lo yamer lamala bepar lo tzarech. Because in the end, we're going to need to learn out how much the azoya was in the par lamala from the soyer. So we learn it out from Allah the Sayyid, Salama Ne'amar, La Kushe Lifnei La'al. And to tell me that just like Al means Al Mamash, Af Lifnei means Al Mamash. No, no, wait a minute. Hi, my. I Amit Bishle Malamata the Sayyid, La Kushe Lamala the Par still has a use. Mi Boy Lilithi Tanya Deve Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov. The Tanya Rebbe Deve Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Al Pnei Akaporet Kedma, Ze Bnei Av, Komakom Shinema Pnei Enu El Akadim. Ela I amrit lamala de par la kushe lamata de sar has no use. Tana rabban vizal to ala kaporet vifnei kaporet. So now we know kama lamala b'sar one lamata b'sar is still any yodea kama. Well, hareni dan nemer dami lamata b'par nemer dami lamata b'sar ma lamata b'par sheva af lamata b'sar sheva. Or perhaps no kulaku deragzu nemer dami lamala b'sar nemer dami lamata b'sar ma lamala b'sar achas af lamata b'sar achas. Well. Indeed, Adarabba. Doni gufa mi gufa vein doni gufa mi alma. Therefore comes along the Torah to tell us, v'yaseh damo kasher asa l'adam hapar, she'im tamud lomar kasher asa, ma'atam lomar kasher asa, that it should be literally kol asiyot tov shavot, even in the number. And kishem shalamata b'par sheva, kach lamata b'sar sheva. Okay, so now lamando kama lamata bapar basoyer sheva. Lamala bapar, still any of the akama. Are any that? Nemer domi lamala basoyer, nemer domi lamala bapar. Makes sense to say just like lamala basoyer is one. Af lamala bapar achad. Or on the other hand, I could say kulach l'derazu. Nemer domi lamata bapar, nemer domi lamala bapar. If lamata bapar specifies sheva, so it's reasonable to say lamala bapar is sheva. Well, I mean, near lamidome. Donim mala mimala, in donim mala mimata. Why? On the contrary, donim gufa mi gufa, in donim gufa mi alma. Therefore, tamud lomar, v'yasatam l'kasher asar, shem tamud lomar kasher asar, matam lomar kasher asar, shukol asiyotov shavot, kishem shalamata b'par sheva, kach lamata b'sar sheva, kishem shalamala b'sar achat, af lamala b'par achat. Then we say that he counts achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim, tana rabban. אחת, אחת ואחת, אחת ושתיים, אחת ושלוש, אחת וארבע, אחת וחמש, אחת ושש, אחת ושבע דברים ממאיר. רבי יהודה אומר, אחת, אחת ואחת, אחת ושתיים ואחת, שלוש ואחת, ארבע ואחת, חמש ואחד, שש ואחד, שבע ואחד, ולא פליגה. מר תיאטרי ומר תיאטרי. I mentioned it was a machlokes, but I forgot to tell you the other side. The Tosfos Yeshanim seems to learn that it's not a question of the one that remains the same and the one that varies. It's rather a question of the merubah versus the muat, which would come first. Because it says there's many places in the Torah where we put the muat first and many places where we put the merubah first. So therefore it would vary. And that's how we compare it. But clearly, to think in modern terms of units and tens, it's not the issue according to anybody, otherwise it's an absurd comparison. Anyway, but kuliyama miyat azari shana tzrichaminyan im kolachat v'achad. How do we know that? Rabbi Lazar says, well, it's just reasonable as a logistical precaution. Shalo yitaba azahot. It was Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Amar Kolef, v'yakapot yazeh, shein tam lomer yazeh, that's repetitious. Ma tam lomer yazeh? They made al azar rishona, shetzichaminyan im kolachat v'achad. May be now, ikimena deloman avalota'a. Yatzah miniach akana zav shebechal. Tonight. I'm back at Shkolim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yishofrot L'kinei Chovah Mipnei HaTa'aruvot. Mai Mipnei HaTa'aruvot? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mipnei Ta'aruvat Chovah B'Nedava. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, sorry. Omer Le'Abaye, why would that happen? Navi Tshrei V'Nichtav Alayu. Which one is Chovah? Which one is Nedava? Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, let Le'Ktivah. Because that we see from the Mishnah Yuma. The Tzan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yasham Elekan Echad Pilvad. Why? Tray my time alone, clearly mishum de michlefe. So you have to ask yourself, so why not just write? Navi trevenichta v'le'ay de pava'ay de sayer? Must be the Rabbi Yehuda, let le'ktiva, which is the reason that he doesn't hold of writing the difference between the olot and the kinei chova. Mitzvah, what do you mean? Shloshes v'shofarot ha'yubim mikdash, ha'yu katuva le'yem. Tiklin, chalatin, tiklin, atikin, kinin, kozoyola, etzim, levona, zav le'kaporet. By the way, Zav Kaporet, remember we had before Machloket, whether it means Kaporet, meaning the Kippurei Zav, the Kli Sharet, or it means for covering the walls of tiles of gold in the Beta Kaporet, which other Rishonim learned. Rashi learns it means the Kli Sharet. The Shishalan Adaba. What were the purposes? Tiklin Chadatin, Eloshkalim Shakoshana Vashana. Tiklin Atikim Ishlosha Kalashtakad, Yishkoloshana Abba. Kinim Artorin. Goes Leol or Bnei Yona, those are just conventions. The Kulan Olot, and don't tell me Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this. This is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, okay? So Rabbi Yehuda clearly agrees that we wrote and we relied on the writing that people would know what to put into what pushkin. So what does he mean, therefore, as opposed to what Rabbi Yosef suggested? What did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said he's worried about getting mixed up? He meant Mishum Chatat Shemetu Ba'alea. I thought we're not concerned with that. Michashin v'tzan, ha'sholeach ha'tatom yimnat ha'yan, makrivino ta b'cheskat shukayam. No, I mean, mishum chatat shemetu ba'alei avadai, tzan ha'chashash. We know. So v'nivra arba, zuzi v'nishte b'maya, and then let the rest be mutar. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that because let le'breira. Minolan, that we'll find out tomorrow.